done that.
Mr. Chairman, my apologies incidentally for the dreadful lateness, but I both missed the coupure in the time sequence.
You all did.
And on top of that, it was left. My apologies. On this thing, I was, of course, enormously impressed by Edward Thompson's exposition and de profundo, so to speak, and the cheap jive about make up your mind about whether you're going to be empiricist or Marxist, obviously, turned upon me. It's a boomerang down, but because you showed me it can be done. But the thing of substance which interests me is his Enroy Scuderia's doubts about the hierarchy of Cordis, and I find myself ironically in the position of defending it. Now, the thing which resembles it in Common or Garden ordinary anthropology, in what every undergraduate in anthropology operates with, is the distinction between structure and culture. It has all the difficulties, minus, I mean, but at the same time, it doesn't contain in itself any suggestion of primacy. It's a categorization. Incidentally, in this connection, Edward Thompson said yesterday, with critical spirit, implied that ex cathedra classified all causes as either to do with production or with coercion or with the ideology. And how the devil do I know? Well, the answer is, how do I know? It's simply because it's a simple matter of taxonomy. I use these classifications as exhaustive. It isn't, I'm not making any claim about the world, that the world is, that there are no forces other than these. These are simply three pigeonholes which are so arranged that everything which arrives goes into one. Similarly, it seems to me culture and structure are a similar kind of pigeonhole, and I've been killed similar kind of pigeonholes, minus any theory that structure is necessary. The base and the other thing is an echo which occasionally is allowed to have a counter effect. Now, I'd be terribly sorry to see it go, because there seem to me things you can't say without making that distinction. It's a very loose one. Structure, roughly speaking, organizational facts of a rather tangible kind, which lend themselves to inter-societal comparisons, like one person taking an order from another person, or a group of people being linked by a corporation. These are structural facts, to my mind, which, roughly speaking, structures whom the bride married is a matter of structure, but what she wore is the culture. That's near enough. Now, I'd be terribly sorry to see this go in this attempt to re-sophisticate Marxism, because there are certain things which can't be said about it, said without it. It's made terribly obvious to me because I've been thinking for some time about nationalism. It seems to me you simply cannot explain nationalism without saying that there's been a certain change in the relationship of social structure to social culture. That's basically a phenomenon in which identification of communities by culture becomes important, when previously, because they were well organized, it wasn't. Now, you can't say this unless you have that distinction. So ironically, I find myself in excessive reaction against the old layered cake version of Marxism, the hierarchy thing, by repudiation of it, by which you feed what has previously been in the top souffle level of the cake downwards. I mean, by, for instance, stressing, as Maurice Cordelier did, that the conceptual elements are already present in the very identification of the concrete activities and vice versa. If you overdo it, and of course Maurice Cordelier doesn't actually want to overdo it, because he keeps on saying doesn't want to abandon hierarchy of causation and have complete chaos and kind of descriptivist chaos, I'd say, rather than empiricist chaos. He doesn't want to overdo it, but if one rejects it completely, one is deprived himself of, you know, I mean, ironically enough, it's a kind of defense of crude Marxism. I would also sometime like to come back to a point which is left over from the previous discussion, but I don't know whether this is the right moment.